That is the glory of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada has brought all these wonderful devotees, the most exalted personalities of the planet, together in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We are very fortunate that we have found this community, and somehow we have become connected to this community, this society. The devotees are the most exalted people on this planet, especially the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's so wonderful that so many of you have come from different parts of the world, the leaders of ISKCON, to give each other this wonderful opportunity of Sadhu Sangha, association of devotees. Srila Prabhupada wanted this on the occasion of Gaur Purnima festival and Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. Srila Prabhupada wanted the devotees to come from all over the world and enrich themselves with the association. Thank you all very much for coming here. And I first of all like to thank Gopal Bhatta Prabhu for organizing this wonderful festival. It was due to his initiative and the hard work of his team, the strategic planning team, that this festival has become a reality. The other day we were discussing about it, and one devotee commented that 2.5 years ago this was inconceivable, to get all the devotees, all the leaders of ISKCON to come and get together. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava ki jai, Shakhi Brinda ki jai, Shriman Mahaprabhu ki jai. So he commented that 2.5 years ago this concept was inconceivable. It was an impossibility. And another devotee then commented, what to speak of 2.5 years? Even 2.5 months back it was an inconceivable concept. But it happened. In one hand, the sincere effort of the strategic planning team under the leadership of Gopal Bhatta Prabhu, and at the same time, the sincere devotees of Mayapur who made it happen. They made all their wonderful arrangements here. I hope all of you are comfortably situated here. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 16, Text 17. This chapter is entitled as Praise of King Prithu by the Professional Reciters. Text 17. You have been heard before, like yesterday Rupad Maharaj also mentioned that Mother Lakshmi Mani actually left it up to us to select the verses Only for Radhanath Maharaj, she selected the verses. Because Radhanath Maharaj left it up to her. So I selected this verse. I'll explain to you later on why. Matri Bhakti Parastrishu Patnyam Ardha Ibatmanaha Prajasu Pitribat Snigdhaha Kinkaro Brahma Vadina. Matri Bhakti Parastrishu Patnyam Ardha Ivatmanaha Prajashu Pitribat Snigdha Kinkaro Brahma Vadina. Matri Bhakti Parastrishu Patnyam Ardha Ivatmanaha Prajashu Pitribat Snigdha Kinkaro Brahma Vadina. Matri Bhakti Parastrishu Patnyam Ardha Ivatmanaha Prajashu Pitribat Snigdha Kinkaro Brahma Vadina. Matri Bhakti Parastrishu Namardha Ivatmanaha Prajashu Pitribat Snigdha Matri Bhakti Parastrishu Patnyam Ardha Ivatmanaha Prajasu Pitrivat Snigdha Kinkaro Brahma Vadina. Matri Bhakti Parastrishu Patnyam Ardha Ivatmanaha Prajasu Pitruvat Snigdha Kinkaro Brahma Vadina. Prajasu Pitruvat Snigdha Kinkaro Brahma Vadina. Mataji. Matri Bhakti, as respectful as one is to his mother. Parastrishu, to other women. Patnam, to his own wife. Ardhaha, half. Eva, like. Atmanaha, of his body. Prajashu, unto the citizens. Pitrivat, like a father. Snigdha, affectionate. Kinkaraha, servant. Brahmavadinam, of the devotees who preach the glories of the Lord. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The king will respect all women as if they were his own mother, and he will treat his own wife as the other half of his body. He will be just like an affectionate father to his citizens, and he will treat himself as the most obedient servant of the devotees who always preach the glories of the Lord. Please repeat after me. The king will respect all women as if they were his own mother, and he will treat his own wife as the other half of his body. He'll be just like an affectionate father to his citizens, and he will treat himself as the most obedient servant of the devotees who always preach the glories of the Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A learned man treats all women except his wife as his mother, looks on others' properties as garbage in the street, and treats others as he would treat his own self. These are the symptoms of a learned person as described by Chanakya Pandit. This should be the standard for education. Education does not mean having academic degrees only. One should execute what he has learned in his personal life. These learned characteristics were verily manifest in the life of King Prithu. Although he was the king, he treated himself as a servant of the Lord's devotees. According to the Vedic etiquette, if a devotee came to a king's palace, the king would immediately offer his own seat to him. The word Brahmavadinam is very significant. Brahmavadi refers to the devotees of the Lord. Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan are different terms for the Supreme Brahman, and the Supreme Brahman is Lord Krishna. This is accepted in Bhagavad Gita 10.12 by Arjuna. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. Thus the word Brahmavadinam refers to the devotees of the Lord. The state should always serve the devotees of the Lord, and the ideal state should conduct itself according to the instructions of the devotee. Because King Prithu followed this principle, he is highly praised. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupang Sagrajatang Sahagana Raghunathan Nitang Tuang Sajivam Sadvaitang Sabadhutang Parijana Sahitang Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Nitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Brishabhanu Supe Devi Pranam Mami Hari Priye Bancha Kalpa Tarubhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shibashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Gaur Premanande Hare So, the sutras, the professional reciters, are singing the glory of Prithu Maharaj. The last chapter ended when Prithu Maharaj told them that, look, all that you are saying that I have been endowed with, all the qualities, all the attributes, but I haven't manifested them. Why are you saying things like that? Because people will think it's just flattery. And then this chapter begins with these sutras who are actually exalted brahmanas, although their business is to recite the glory of different exalted personalities, especially the kings, but they are the individuals who are actually situated in absolute truth. They are situated in a transcendental platform. And they declared that you are the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have come down here to bless all of us and set the standard of ideal leadership. And while describing the glory of Prithu Maharaj in this way, they came to this point. And these four points, respect for women, for a householder, treating his wife as the other half, the treating the citizens as his own children, and respect for the brahmanas and vaishnavas, devotees of the Lord. These are the very foundation of Vedic culture. Vedic culture has been established, has been given by Krishna himself. It is not any culture of any particular place as such. It is the spiritual culture to uplift the spirit soul to the spiritual platform, freeing himself from the bondage of matter. In the material nature, everyone is bound. Everyone in this material nature is bound. Material nature is a prison house, and the shackles with which the living entities are bound in this material nature is sex desire. Therefore, this material nature is described as Maithunagara, a prison house of sex desire. And the Vedic culture actually teaches one how to transcend, how to free oneself from that entanglement, how to free oneself from this shackles that is binding him into this material nature. As I was explaining, as I was mentioning earlier, that I would explain why I selected this verse, because I felt that this verse is giving a very, very clear understanding of how the leaders should conduct themselves and how the leaders must train their followers. And the first principle is respect for women. It is the respect for women that builds one's character. The Bengali expression for a debauchee is characterless, or charitrahin. Charitra means character, and hina means devoid of. So one who is a debauchee, he doesn't have any character. So in order to develop one's character, noble character, in order to develop the nobility in oneself, one must learn, one must be trained to respect women. How? Like a mother. Actually, all of us are most indebted to our mother. Because of her, we are here. She undergone so many difficulties, so many trials and tribulations, so much sufferings, just to bring us into this planet. And it is due to her care that we actually grew up. We developed this body and the body grew. And that's why the respect for mother naturally grows. And she is the ideal woman. So matri bhakti parastri shu. This kind of respect one should have towards all the women. And then when he gets married, he should treat his wife not as an object of sense gratification. What to speak of other women, he doesn't even treat his duly married wife also as an object of sense gratification. He treats his wife as other half of himself, a part of himself. That is another consideration, that's another concept. A man, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Shriman Mahaprabhu Shakhi Brinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Prahlad Nrisingha Dev Ki Jai. A man does not only consider, doesn't, what to speak of, considering other women as the object of his sense gratification. He doesn't even treat his wife as an object of sense gratification. But he treats him that he has some responsibilities in this nature as a householder. Therefore, he gets married. Putrarthe kriyate bharja. Why does one get married? In order to produce children, in order to procreate children. Putrarthe kriyate bharja. And then he is saha dharmini. He conducts the same religion. He cannot perform religious activities himself, alone. Therefore he needs his wife to be with him. When Lord Ramchandra banished Sita, whenever he would perform, after Sita was banished to the ashram of Valmiki, whenever Ramchandra performed a yajna, he had to have his wife with him. So Sita Devi was, a golden Sita was built, and he conducted the sacrifice with Swarna Sita next to him. So this is the Vedic culture, Sahadharmini. In one hand she is Ardhangini, Ardha Angini, and Sahadharmini. Half of his self, and he conducts religious activities, especially the activities that one conducts in the household life along with her. Then the third consideration is how should he treat his followers. Here they are talking about King Prithu, but King Prithu is actually an ideal leader. He is, is a king. Not that the king has the responsibility to treat his citizens as his own children, but that is a responsibility of an ideal personality, an ideal leader. He must take care of them, guide them in their lives, take care of them. Praja, the word praja means, literally means, someone who is specially born. That is, he is his son, but not born of him and his wife. Children that are not born of him, but still they are his children. Prakrishna rupena jayate. So that is how a king must treat his citizens. That is how a leader must treat his followers. And then king karo brahmavadinam. And he, although he is a king, although he is such an exalted personality, he is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he treats the devotees as his master, and he places himself as their servant. King karo brahmavadinam. The kings, so humble, treats the devotees as their honorable master. Please, tell me, what can I do for you? And Prabhupada mentioned, this is a very common Vedic practice those days, that when an exalted personality came, when a sage or a devotee came to the palace of the king, king stood out from his throne and offered the throne to that person. We have seen that Krishna did that to Sudama. A brahmana came to him. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is setting the standard. He made Sudama sit on his seat, on his throne, and washed his feet. He washed his feet. So this is Vedic culture. And Srila Prabhupada came to establish, or rather re-establish, the Vedic culture in this planet when it is practically lost. We are seeing just the opposite things are happening now. Nobody looks up to women as mother. All over there is a massive propaganda to look at women as an object of sense gratification. Everywhere, all they're showing is just women half exposed. And there is no family life. And even when they get married, then the marriage doesn't last for very long. They break off. Very few marriages a lasting nowadays. To begin with, they don't get married. And those who get married, they get divorced soon afterwards. And what to speak of treating the subordinates as their own children? They don't even take care of their own children. And what to speak of having any respect for the exalted devotees of the Lord. They don't have any respect for anybody. A culture of disrespect. The Vedic culture is established on Shraddha, on respect. And materialistic culture in the age of Kali is founded on disrespect. So, this is the responsibility that we have as followers of Srila Prabhupada, we have to establish the Vedic culture, re-establish the Vedic culture. Why? Because this is the most important thing that is happening in this world. This is the most wonderful thing that is happening in this world today. Revival of Krishna consciousness. Revival of Vedic culture. Not only the Vedic culture also has various aspects. What Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave is the most glorious, exalted essence of the Vedic culture. Krishna bhakti, braja prem, uttanto durlabho prem koribare dan, shikhaye sharanagati bhakotero pran. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach the process of devotion in order to give this Krishna prem to the living entities in this age of Kali. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through his discussion with Ramananda Rai, he made it clear that this is the essence of the spiritual gifts. The most exalted spiritual position is Krishna bhakti. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna asked Arjuna. Arjuna asked Krishna, and Krishna instructed Arjuna. Mahaprabhu's order is in a reverse order. Now, Krishna came and he is asking Arjuna. Just like the teacher sometimes asks the student to find out whether he understood the subject. So, Ramananda, what is the ultimate goal of life? And Ramananda Rai speaks about Varnashram Dharma. Varnashrama charo bata purushena parapuman. Vishnu aradhate pantha nainam tattosha karanam. Performance of Varnashram is the ultimate goal of life, and that's the best way to please Vishnu and worship Vishnu. Mahaprabhu rejected that. No, it's external. That's not the highest, that's mundane. Then Ramananda Rai speaks about karma yoga. And he is substantiating his statement by scriptural evidence. Jat karosi jat snasi, jat juhosi dadasi jat, jat tapushoshi konteya tat kurusha madarpanam. Mahaprabhu rejected that. Iho badshu. This is also external. Tell me what's beyond that. Age kahua. Then Ramananda Rai speaks about karma sannyas, renunciation of karma, karma tyag. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami masucha. The final instruction of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. But Mahaprabhu rejected that also. This is also external. Tell me what's beyond that. Then he speaks about Gyanajo, Gyanamishra Bhakti. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na Shochati na Kangshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. But Mahaprabhu rejected that also. No, external. Tell me what's beyond that. Although it says Param, Madbhaktim Labhate Param, my translation. In this platform one receives my transcendental devotion, but he rejects that. But then Ramananda Rai speaks about Shuddha Bhakti. Anna Bhilashita Sunnam Jnana Karmad Anabritam Anukullena Krishnanushilanam Bhaktir Uttama Uttama Bhakti. Pure devotion. Mahaprabhu accepted it. Yes, that's right. Now tell me what's beyond that. And then gradually Ramananda Rai speaks about bhakti in Shantaras, bhakti in Dasaras, bhakti in Sakharas, bhakti in Vatsalaras, bhakti in Madhurjaras. Mahaprabhu accepted them one after another. And then he says, tell me what is beyond that. Then Ramananda Raya says, I did not know if anyone could ask what is beyond that. But you are asking me the question, at the same time you are empowering me also to answer. So, please, if you empower, then probably I'll be able to answer your question. And then in this way, from Madhurya Ras, it goes to the very special aspect of Madhurya Ras. That is, Krishna is dancing with thousands of gopis. But in the center, Krishna is dancing alone with one gopi. So that gopi must be very special. And then this gopi became upset with Krishna. And she left the Rasa Mandali. And Krishna left all the gopis, thousands of gopis, 64,000 gopis, and he followed her. So she must be very special. So who is this particular gopi? One who is very special in her aradhana. So in this way, Radharani's identity was revealed. And then he pointed out that this Radha and Krishna now became in their intense loving exchange. They became one. Mahaprabhu covered his face. Okay. You don't have to tell anymore. Because now his identity is going to become exposed. So this is what Srila Prabhupada came to give to this world. That's why he created this ISKCON with so much effort. Srila Prabhupada created this most wonderful International Society for Krishna Consciousness. What a vision Srila Prabhupada had. Prabhupada knew his mission is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, fulfilling the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's why he was planning. That's why he considered the importance of an institution. Because this is a mission that couldn't be possible, that wouldn't be possible in one person's lifetime. What to speak of when Prabhupada is starting this mission at the age of 70. How many years he had? Prabhupada knew he didn't have much time. So Prabhupada knew that there must be an institution to continue the mission. And that's why right from the beginning Prabhupada's emphasis was in this institution of ISKCON. The other day, Gopal Bhatta Prabhu just mentioned that how when he set up the ISKCON institution in 26 Second Avenue, Prabhupada printed a visiting card. And that visiting card said, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, founder Acharya of International Society for Krishna Consciousness, with centers all over the world. Just a small little storefront he is starting. And to begin with, he names it as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. As you all know, there was consideration and doubts about calling it a Society for Krishna Consciousness. They suggested, no, call it International Society for God Consciousness, because people don't understand who Krishna is. And Prabhupada was so emphatic, I have come here to teach everybody that Krishna is God. You speak of God, but you don't have any understanding of who God is. I have come to teach you who God is. And that's Krishna. That's why it must be, that must be the name for the institution. And as you also know, when Prabhupada was walking in the park in New York, just a few weeks or maybe less than a week after his arrival in New York City, Prabhupada was sitting on a bench in a park, and one Jewish gentleman came and sat next to Prabhupada, and out of curiosity he started to ask who he was, where he came from. And what did Prabhupada tell him? And he came from India, he just came, and he has temples all over the world. And he said that, you said that you just came the other day. How can you claim that you have temples all over the world? He said, yes, they are there, only time is separating us. Only time is separating us. Prabhupada knew what is going to happen. He's a Trikala Darshi. He knew what would happen. That's why with such conviction he could admit, he could say that this is what's going to happen. And in order to continue that mission, Prabhupada saw the need for a spiritual organization. And in order to secure that organization, Prabhupada established two concepts very, very clearly. His position as the founder acharya and the concept of the collective management through the governing body. Sometimes some people who left, some of our devotees who left ISKCON, they say things like, oh, ISKCON is dead, and they are actually creating the real ISKCON. And once I had an encounter with one such person who was claiming that they are actually creating the real ISKCON. And I had to ask them, what do you mean by real ISKCON? And then we got into a discussion about ISKCON, and my point was that ISKCON is the institution where Prabhupada is the founder acharya and the GBC is the ultimate managing authority. That is the identity of ISKCON. Now, if you can create an institution where Prabhupada is the founder acharya and a body of collective management, of GBC maintaining that institution, yes, you can claim, but you haven't. But this ISKCON is going on with that concept, and that's why with time you will see that how this ISKCON will flourish and fulfill the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes another question also comes, this question comes from people from India, especially the Babaji's, some individuals of Radhakund and Vrindavan area. They say that our sampradaya is not bona fide. They say that because the way Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur drew the line is not a line according to Diksha Parampara, it is a line according to Shiksha Parampara, Bhagavat Parampara. But these people don't understand that. They just say that ISKCON doesn't have bona fide disciplic succession. So once I was having an encounter with one such person, and I just asked him, did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predict that the Krishna consciousness movement would spread all over the world in every town and village? But they can't deny that. I said, yes, Mahaprabhu said that. Then I said that prediction, which is practically impossible, the one who fulfills that prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, is he in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or not? You all are rejoicing, but he became quiet. So that is the most wonderful gift of Srila Prabhupada. He gave the highest spiritual wealth and organized it in such a way that it will continue to expand and eventually spread all over the world in every town and village. And we can see Prabhupada's expertise. Like Prabhupada's expertise was in forming this concept of collective management through the GPC. It was actually Prabhupada inherited that concept from his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It was his consideration to manage the society collectively through the governing body. But unfortunately, his followers failed to do that, and as a result of that, his institution, Gaudiya Math, disintegrated. And Prabhupada told us emphatically, don't make the same mistake that my godbrothers made after Guru Maharaj's disappearance. Guru Maharaj told them to kind of manage the society through a governing body. They did not. They rather appointed an acharya. And when the acharya fell down, the whole structure collapsed. But he said, don't make the same mistake. And we can see that about 35 years after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, ISKCON is not only there, but ISKCON is growing, ISKCON is expanding. ISKCON is becoming more and more wonderfully established in this planet. ISKCON is growing. It's all because of that. Because in ISKCON, the devotees have held Srila Prabhupada in his position as the founder acharya, and the society is being collectively managed through a governing body concept, GPC concept. Difficulties have been there, crises have been there, but in spite of all those difficulties, ISKCON is still going strong because of following these two principles. Now society, at least I can say with firm conviction, it's in good hands. I have been seeing all the leaders of ISKCON from a very close proximity, and I can see how sincere, how dedicated, and how expert they are in fulfilling this mission that Srila Prabhupada gave them. Once I was with Radhanath Maharaj in New Vrindavan. After lunch, we are lying down, facing each other. And Radhanath Maharaj was telling me, you know, I never wanted to be a leader. So I was happy, just Kirtananda Swami was the leader. And I was just, you know, there practicing my Krishna consciousness, reading, chanting, preaching. But now, by some arrangement, I have become a leader. Although I never wanted to become a leader. I told Maharaj, that's the kind of leaders we need in ISKCON today. Who doesn't want to become a leader, but who leads by his own example. So that is a real leader. And I feel very happy to see how Radhanath Maharaj is being appreciated and recognized all over the world. The places where he didn't even go, I get to hear they are just waiting for Radhanath Maharaj to come there. I must also admit another wonderful leader of ISKCON, that is Gopal Bhattu Prabhu. who did not add, doesn't have any position, doesn't have any title, but he has gone out of his way to create a better ISKCON. A successful businessman who didn't really have anything to do with ISKCON for many years, but he noticed that ISKCON needs help. So he came forward and started to give the help. And he did it in such a wonderful way. We needed a leader like him, who is not a leader, but leading the movement, leading the leaders. I was mentioning that yesterday. Generally, the leader leads from the front. Gopal Bhatta Prabhu is leading from the back. He's pushing everyone, reminding everyone what they need to do. In this way, we have so many wonderful leaders in our movement. It's unfortunate that His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj became so sick now. But still, he is carrying on preaching. His spirit did not diminish. He is carrying on. In spite of his physical difficulties, he is pushing on the movement. That's a remarkable example. Another leader, I would say, is Gopal Krishna Maharaj. Oh, what a wonderful example. In his own way, he's just following Srila Prabhupada's instructions. That's his mission. He simply wholeheartedly, loyally follows Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada wanted us to distribute books. He's just carrying on. And look at the result. And not only the books are going out in his zone, but temples are coming up. Like in the city of Delhi, there are how many? 6-7 temples now? Dead. Wow. I made some miscalculation. Not 6-7, 10 temples have come up in one city of Delhi. So these are the devotees who are pushing on this movement so loyally. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj is leading so wonderfully in South Africa, Russia, and many other places. And Ramapad Maharaj, Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj, Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj, Badri Narayan Prabhu, such a brilliant leader, so expert, so intelligent. Sobhas Prabhu in Los Angeles, such a wonderful leader. And we also have the new leaders are coming up. At least in ISKCON I can see. I mean, in ISKCON India, there's so many brilliant personalities are coming up. Like Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, Radhe Shyam Prabhu, Bhakti Vinod Maharaj, Gaur Narayan Maharaj. So, I mean, I'm confident that ISKCON is going to carry on without any difficulty for years to come. Because the movement is in good hands. In expert hands. And mind you, Prabhupada created ISKCON to create leaders. So all of you have the responsibility to become leaders, lead the world, and show the way back to the Golok Vrindavan. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. It's already 9 o'clock and the session will start at 10 o'clock sharp, so I won't invite any question today. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. वंशा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो